Okay, so tonight we're going to learn a very interesting, it's not really a letter technically, but I consider it a letter because it's an introduction to a sefer. So sometimes there's an introduction by an author to a sefer, and it's sort of a letter I consider it to a reader, and if it's of interest personally, biographically, then I chalked it up to being a letter, and so over the course of the year, Mitzvah Shem, we'll be learning a few very interesting hakdamas from Svarim, and we can glean a lot of very interesting wisdom from those hakdamas. Now, the sefer that we're learning tonight is written by the Chayei Adam. The Chayei Adam, his name was Rav Avram Danzig, and he was from the city of Danzig in Europe. He was born in 1748, and he died in 1820. And he was a Talmud of the Nei Rabbi Yehuda, and he lived in Danzig, but he was very close with the Vilna Gaon. He was very close with the Vilna Gaon's Talmud, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who gave him a haskama to his sefer. And in fact, he was a mechutin with the Vilna Gaon. I think maybe the Vilna Gaon's granddaughter married his son or something of the sort. He was somehow related through marriage. He gave a famous hesped over the Vilna Gaon when the Vilna Gaon was nifter. And the Chayei Adam was offered a very big position to be a rabbi in Vilna. He was a huge Talmud Chacham, but he opted out. And we'll see in this letter why he didn't take the position. And also we'll see exactly what he did for a living and how he teaches us how a balabas, quote unquote, could maximize his time in learning even though he's working. Just want to tell you a little bit about the Sefer Chayei Adam. The Sefer Chayei Adam was one of the most popular svarim of halacha ever written. It was sort of I guess, supplemented over time by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which became more famous because it's a little bit more simple to learn. But the Chayei Adam, before the Kitzur was printed, the Chayei Adam was the Kitzur of the times. And even nowadays, people very often learn the Chayei Adam. My father, Olav Shalom, was a huge fan of the Chayei Adam. He used to learn with us by the Shabbos table, the Chayei Adam, and sometimes he would read it, sometimes I would read it, but we would learn it very, very often by the Shabbos table, by the Yontif table, and it's an interesting story personally. When I was giving a hesped for my father, who was Nifter a few years ago, he was Nifter on the day after Tzayim Gedalia, and on Dalet Tishrei, and so I was saying in the Hesped, one of the things I was saying was how my father loved the Chayei Adam. And after the Hesped was over, after the Levaya was over, we went out of the building where the Hesped was, where the Levaya was, and there was a very big crowd of people outside, and somebody came over to me that was at the Levaya, and I never saw this guy before in my life. He had a beard. I never saw him before. I never saw him since. And he said to me, I want you to know, I heard what you said about your father in the Chayei Adam. I don't know if you're aware of this, but today is the yahrzeit of the Chayei Adam. So basically my father's yahrzeit and the Chayei Adam's yahrzeit were on the same day, and it was just an interesting thing, but it was also interesting that this guy who I didn't know from Adam came over to me and told me it, as if like Eliyahu Navi, just gave me a heads up about that. But it was interesting. Now, the Chayei Adam, this is not actually the Hakdama to the Chayei Adam, this is the Hakdama to another sefer that the Chayei Adam wrote called Chachmas Adam, which is on a lot of halachas of Yerideya. And in this sefer, we're going to start from the paragraph on the right-hand side that's on the bottom, Klolei Shel Dabar. The Chayei Adam is writing to the readers of the Chayei Adam, the Chachmas Adam, the Klal Shel Davar Yadati Bezras Hashem, Ki Kulam Yaidu Shechibra Hazeh Hutayelas Gadol Anashim Ke'erki, the Kol Shegen LePachusim Imani. This sefer that I wrote, the Chayadam, the Chachmas Adam, which is basically like the Kitzer, very simple codification of halacha, and all the halachas of Aruch Chaim, and this is a sefer on Yerideya. The Kitzer sort of did it all in one sefer. The Chayadam did it in two separate svarim, but it's a very, very usable sefer. That's why everybody loves the Kitzer, because you don't have to be a big Talmud Chacham to learn the Kitzer. The Mishneh Berurah is also obviously a classic and an amazing halacha sefer, but you need to be a little bit more in the zone and skilled to learn Mishneh Berurah, because there's a lot of moving parts. You have to learn the Mechaber, and there's the Ramah, and then there's the Mishneh Berurah, and then the Ber Halacha, and the Shaar Tzion, and the Ber Heitev, and there's a lot of moving parts in the Mishneh Berurah. But the Kitzer is just, and the Chayadam is just, it just lays it out for you. It's all very simple as simple can be, and it's very practical halacha that every balabayas, every layman needs to know for, if you're learning Hilchos Shabbos, if you're learning about a lulav, if you're learning about ribbis, it gives it to you as simple could be. So the Chayadam says that I wrote this sefer, and he says everybody will agree that there's a great mila of the sefer, so that people like me, the kol shekhen lepchusimani, and people that are lower in learning than me, the kol shekhen lebalabatim, the adarim bayaris ketanais, the einla mayra. So let's say you have very simple folk. In the olden days, not everybody went to yeshiva. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who gave him askama, he was the one that instituted and revolutionized the yeshiva system. But there are very few people that were learned in those days. There were the rabbanim, and then there were Rosh Yeshivas, people that gave shiurim privately in certain communities. But most people, the rank and file Jew, was not a learned person. That's why the whole Hasidic movement came about, because the Baal Shem Tov wanted to make sure that the simple folk of Europe were able to be inspired and have a kesher with the Rabbeinu Shalom, and not everybody could intellectually. So Hasidus basically says you can have a kesher with the Rabbeinu Shalom. You could do it through a Rebbe and through Simcha and dancing and a Tish, and these are ways of connecting with the Rabbeinu Shalom even though you're not very learned. That's not to say Hasidim are not learned. There are many Hasidus in that are very makbid on learning and, have big talmid chachamim. But the idea was that we have to cater to the unsophisticated layman. And so the Chayadam writes that, imagine how great this sefer is going to be and how much use it will be for people that are simple. They're living in little shtetlach throughout Europe and they don't have a Rebbe, they don't have a Rav, and he's not baki in Shulchan Aruch, so how is he going to know the halacha? Yocha limtza hadin sheitztarech bekal gadol. Ayde luach hasimon. I have a table of contents. Whatever you need to look up, you look up on the table of contents, and then you turn to that page, and it's right there before you. Now, this is very key, what he's going to write now. V'hine yadati. Now, I know, ki islachashu alai, that people are going to whisper about me. The Yaimru and say Hagam Shol Benavim. He's borrowing that from a pasuk. Is Shol also a Navi? Halayzeha Isha Danubai Shay Misuchare Eretz Frankfurt for Leipzig, Yaisimitesvav Shanim. This guy wasn't a rabbi. He wasn't Rosh Hashiva. Who's the author of this book? He was a businessman. We used to see him going to the fairs in Leipzig and in Frankfurt, more than 15 years. V'sayrosay emas nasis. When was he able to learn? He was a businessman. He was a seich. He was a merchant. V'atayra he idan. The Torah is made like me'ever layamu. That the Torah is not across the seas. And the Gemara darshins shein mitzuy le'betagronim le'besachronim. Torah is not designed for people that are going on boats, on trips, on business trips. Torah is meant to be learned in a beis medrash with yishuv hadas. So who is this Rabbi Avram Danzig to write a sefer, and we're all supposed to listen to his halachas? He's not a rabbi. He's a regular balabais. We saw him by the fairs. When was he able to learn? So he has to defend this taina against him. Dalacha, achi. My brother, you should know. Kinesiyasi lemerchakim loy hayu lekabitz aisha chalila. When I traveled to far off towns on business, it wasn't chas v'shalom to get wealthy. Yod olav hoden akol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be made on me that I never had any demyanis, I never had any ambitions to become super wealthy. Rak lefarnes b'nei besi. I only wanted to earn the basic sustenance to be able to provide for my family. That's all I wanted. The Yerusha hi b'yadi me'avais HaKadoshim. And I have a tradition from my ancestors. My grandfather was Harava Gadol Meforsim Medayer Litzadik Tamim, Meiner of Shmuel, Bala Mechaber Sefer Nechames Tzion. My grandfather's name was Reb Shmuel. He wrote a Sefer called Nechames Tzion. He was Chassan Haga'ain, Meiner of Yechiel Michal of Shatland, Plach Ir Danzig, who was also from that same area of the world, Danzig. He was living in a certain town. There was a plague that was spreading. And before that plague hit the town, he's telling us a little story about his grandfather. He fell asleep on the shtender over a sefer while he was learning. His mother came to him in a dream that, and she was a great tzaddikas. And she said to him, "Da b'ni, you should know, my son, shenigzar devarach manalitzlan. There's going to be a plague that's spreading through your country. V'harbe tarachnu levato, and we tried very hard in Shemayim to stop the plague. V'lo hayol, it didn't help. Al kain tsei minair, get out of town." Ulamachar Gilazais, and the next day he revealed this. V'nitzaylu kol Hashem lai, and he spread the word that there's going to be a devar, a very deadly plague. We know what plagues did in those days. There weren't, you know, before the age of penicillin, there were black plagues and, you know, all types of plagues that spread throughout Europe, killing hundreds of thousands of people at different times of history. And he got out just in the nick of time, and anyone that listened to him, all because he got a tip off from Shemayim from his mother. So what's the point? I got a Messiah from my grandfather. This was his way. All of his life, he never got any hana, any financial hana from Tyra. He had 10 sons. Very expensive to raise 10 sons. And he provided for them properly, with honor, luxuriously maybe, but he worked hard. He would darshan, he would give musar, but he would never formally take a position in the rabbinate. Why not? Because he did not want to take money for Torah. And there are many people like this. I think Sfaradim have this Messiah. Sfaradim are very makbid, the Sfaradish Rabbanim of old. Today, you know, the world changed a lot, but in the olden days, Sfaradish Rabban, maybe even today, they would be...
Like 50 years ago or so, when Rabbi said, Rabbi Muhammad said, enough is enough. At that point, I'm walking to school on Shabbat morning, 10 o'clock, and...
But in the old days, Svadish Rabban Mifrat, they were very much, they would have jobs, they would do things, and then they would also be the Rav, but they would not take money for the Rabbanis. And so, this is a Messiah, as a Chayadim that I had, from my grandfather, that I refused to be in a position, a paid position in the rabbinate. So gamani alachti bekvaisav for leizaza hayra mitaych besi ze yaisem esim shana. I never passed in the shaila for 20 years because there was a rav in town. I didn't want to overshadow him. For leinase davar gadol bekilaseno bilti askamasi. I never did anything in our community without. Nothing happened in my community without my askama. Until 2 years ago when I got poor, He says, I never got paid for any hayra. I never, but nothing happened in the town without me. But I didn't, until recently, I had to get paid because I mamash was broke. But until this point, I always made it my business to try to find parnasa independent of whatever I did in terms of authority, Torah authority. When you get older and you can't go out and provide for yourself anymore, so then I allowed myself this license to take some money. But when I was younger, I worked. And he says, thank God that I never had this love of money. Never had a love of money. A lot of people, you know, they don't just earn money because they want to support their family. They earn money because they love money. They love money. I was just telling somebody that I had a friend that I went to elementary school with. And then we went to different high schools, but we lived in the same town. And I was once speaking to him, when we were both in 12th grade and we were both like deciding sort of what to do with our lives. I asked him, what do you think you're going to do? And he says, I don't know yet. He says, but I do know one thing. He says, I want to be filthy wealthy. I want to be filthy rich. That's my sole ambition in life. He became very, very wealthy. I'm not going to say more than that, but he became very wealthy. But there are some people that it's not what they do. It's not that I'm not, you know, going for a profession that I could help people or go into chinuch so that I could be ma'arbet tzaira. I have a love for money, and I want to have as much money as I can amass. I have kesel yisba kesel. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but you know, obviously, it's better to have more of an altruistic pursuit in life, I think, than just going after money l'shem money. If you want to go after money because you want to give a lot of money to tzedakah, etc., that's, you know, there are probably worse things that you could do if you do it legally and morally, then, you know, it's fine. But at least the Chayadim thanked Hashem that I never had, and he was in business. So, you know, it's maybe once I'm doing this much, I should do a little bit more and, you know, get really wealthy. He never wanted that. He wanted just to do enough business in order to support his family and enable himself to learn, and that was all he wanted. When a person learns Torah, this is something that the nefesh, it's an activity of the soul. Let's say a woman has no intent of getting married, and she sits for 10 years without a husband. So the Gemara says that she's not going to ever give birth. But let's say she always intends to get married. Let's say, you know, a girl is dating and Nebuch, she's dating 10 years, she can't find some. But she wants to get married, she'll be able to have children. But let's say a woman says for 10 years, she already has in her mind that I do not want to get married. I hate marriage, I hate men, not for me. And she completely like resigns herself to the fact that she's going to be single the rest of her life. Chazal say that you don't have you lose after 10 years the ability
I'm
to have children.
Am I ready to or am...
No, not that I'm not ready to. I don't want, I have no intent of getting married. I have no intent to have children. If I'm not ready, but I have, you know, down the road, I want to. That's something. Then the chemistry, the biology, you know, is still staying working. Again, whether this is, you know, whether science agrees with this Gemara or not, I don't know. But this is what Chazal tell us. The chasher nisus teled. I'm sorry, one second. The imdaitelinas liish afshes sheyashva shanam harbe b'loy baal afal pikein nishar kayacha ledim and afsho. If she intends to get married, even though she's single for many years, she will still be able to have children. The chasher nisus teled. Kacha isha yisraeli. So the chayadim says the same thing is true for a Jewish man. If mimenov lanisha benafsha oikaya chaleda. Avolam ein daite nezva rak machmas einay. See efshle lomayd ledavik bachas v'shalom shetesrachik mimeno rak sheteshva manusa mitzapeli nase oid elav v'nisha akayach benefesh. An amazing thing the Chayyadim says. If a person, there's two different people that go to work. There's one type of person that goes to work and says, listen, I did my yeshiva years, that's it. I'm hanging up my Gemara, no more Daf Yomi, no more Shiurim, no more Mishnah Berurah, no more Musar. I'm now going to work. And I'm not learning anymore. It happens. Some people that just, I did my yeshiva years, that's it, it's done. And a person now goes to work for many, many years, and he has no interest in learning. He has no intent of learning. He just completely... So what happens is his nefesh like shrivels up like a dried prune, and he loses that ability to have Tyradika told us, meaning he can't be mechadish anymore in Tyra. All of the creative juices that he has completely are dried up. He is not able to do anything anymore. But if a person, much like the woman who intends to be married, but she wants to, if a person goes to work, but his real kavana is that I want to go back to learn as soon as I can, at night, in the morning, when I retire, whatever, and I'm keeping those juices going, that I love learning, I have a tshuka for learning, but I have to do what I have to do now to make a parnasa, so then it stays by him, the ability to learn. Kain Aymer Ani Al Hasmi, says the Chayadim about himself, Hagam Shen Asasi L'merchakim, I went away very far on business. Vayisi Seicha, and I was a self-proclaimed businessman. I admit it. Av Chachmasi Amdali, but my Chachma remained with me. Ki b'nisiyasi l'derech daiti aleh, because as I was traveling to go to work to those far-off business places, I had in mind Taira. Ubi shivasi b'chanus, and when I sat in my store, daiti aleh, I didn't go online the whole day in my store, and I wasn't reading the New York Times all day, and I wasn't schmoozing all day, and I wasn't doing nothing all day. I was learning. When there weren't customers in my store, I was learning. The Tasi Li, and you have to believe me, Shafilu, Bishas, Maso, Matan, Pamim Harbe, even when I was engaged in actual business, people were in my store. I was cutting a big deal with somebody. Even then, says the Chayyadim, I was thinking and learning. Behira, Pirish, Kusha. Either I was thinking about an interpretation of something, I had a kasha I was trying to resolve. Ubifrat, Bishisha, Mitzvah, Saseh, Shekasad, Bechayadim, Klal Aleph. There's a famous list of six. There's books that were recently put out. My cousin wrote a book for Art School about it. My wife's cousin. It's called Six Constant. I think what's Six Constant Mitzvahs or what? Yeah, Six Constant Mitzvahs. The whole book is about these six mitzvahs of the Chayyadim. What? Must read. Okay, my cousin would be happy to hear that. What about this? A person would be, there are six mitzvahs that a person could accomplish at every second of his life. And you know what they are? Without putting you on the spot. Anyway, Yediyah. Right, those types of mitzvahs. Those are three out of the six, that's 50%. But there are three others, but those types of, you can always love Hashem. You can always have yira from Hashem. You can always be mechavin that the Rabbeinu Shlalem, the Achdusa Yisbarach. And other types of mitzvahs like that, he says, that's something that could always be mekayim. V'kiyamti ba'asmi al tazveha v'titzrach. So basically he's saying that this is what I did. This is what I did. That whenever I was... he says, let's skip down to the last paragraph because it's getting a little late. Kain anikari alai, skip down three lines, via idu alai asechrim. Those people that were co-businessmen with me could be able to attest, sha'afilu b'eis nisiyasi b'Leipzig. Even when I was traveling in Leipzig, la'manati likach imi gemara umikro mishnah, I always learned gemara, chumash, mishnayas, va'afilu b'sha'as yirid, even during the big bazaar, during the big fair, Kimat shalamadati b'chol yaim daf v'chetzi gemara. I learned every day a daf and a half of Gemara. This is way before Daf Yomi started. Chutz Mishnayas v'chayroshi shenani kaisev zeis liskayis ulispar. You think I'm writing this to brag and to boast? No. Kimani machayei. Everybody's chayev. I'm not bragging. All I'm doing is to tell you and skip down. He says, does a person brag that he wears tefillin every day? It's a chayev. It's a chiv also to learn every day. So why am I writing this? Businessmen make a very critical error when they're on the road. And when there's a big, you know, convention, there's a big conference. Anyway, he continues and he says that this is not appropriate. He's giving Balabatim hadracha on how to live their life. He's saying that I wrote this Sefer Chayyadam, and you think, well, who are you to write a Sefer? You know, what are you? You're a businessman. You're not allowed to write a Sefer. You better believe I'm allowed to write a Sefer. Why am I not allowed to write a Sefer? Because the Gemara says not found by businessmen. That's for businessmen that are completely shaku on the learn in their business, and they completely sever their ties to Torah. He says, never did I sever my relationship with the Torah. When I was traveling, when I was at the fair, when I was in my store, when I was cutting a deal, I was always, my mind was always saturated with Divrei Torah. I was always learning Gemara, Mishnayos, Chumash. And because of that, the creativity, the ability to be a gadol, was able to stay by me, regardless of what I was busy doing. And this is something that I think, you know, is very inspirational. Because no matter what we do in life, whether we are going to be in business, whether we're going to be in a profession, medicine, law, accounting, whether we're going to be in chinuch, in rabbanus, a lot of people, when they leave yeshiva, they make this mistake and they think that I did my years in yeshiva, I did my learning b'ion, you know, now it's time for me to make real money. Now I have to really cut a name for myself, make a name for myself in law, in medicine, in this, and I can't multitask. And that's a very, very bad mistake. The Chai Adam teaches us that a person has to always maintain his kesher to Torah. There's never a time in our lives that we're able to say, I'm putter now, I graduated, I got smicha, that's it. I could hang up my learning, and now I could go to the next chapter of my life and throw myself into business. Rav Ruderman has a story told about Rav Ruderman, that he was a Masada Kedushin by a Talmud of his in Neri Yisrael, and this boy got engaged to a very wealthy businessman's daughter. And you know, by the Chassan's Tish, I guess there was extra time, and Rav Ruderman was telling him that, you know, what are you going to be doing after you get married? And he said, I'm going to probably go into my father-in-law's business. And Rav Ruderman was basically giving the Chai Adam's pitch. He's saying, listen, no matter what you do, you have to, you know, you have to make sure to really be kavei yitumat Torah, make sure to make starim for yourself, go to a shir, and try to maybe learn before you start going to work a little bit, learning kite a little bit, you know, start off the marriage in the right way. And then the father-in-law was like not far away, this very wealthy guy, and he was a very arrogant sort of fellow, I guess. And he said to Rav Ruderman, you know, what's this, what are you talking to my son-in-law about? So Rav Ruderman just basically said, what are you saying? And this future father-in-law gets red in the face, and he starts screaming at Rav Ruderman. He says, that's not going to happen to my son-in-law. Don't put these foreign ideas into my son-in-law. He's finished with yeshiva now. Now he's going to be throwing himself entirely into my business. And that's what his job is now. And Rav Ruderman, you know, used to use this as a mashal about like what not to be in life. So very, very...
Did he walk out at that point?
No. I don't think so. I don't think so. But I will tell you another story, though, now that you ask me. I have a friend. If you live long enough, you know, you get to see a lot of different stories. And I had a friend who married a very, very, very... He was engaged to a very wealthy girl. Now, you know, there's wealthy and then there's really wealthy. This girl wasn't wealthy. She was super wealthy. She was like... Her father was like a gazillionaire. And so he was all excited, you know, like he got engaged, and he's, you know, this guy was a, you know, regular blue collar type of guy, and he you know, now his, all of a sudden he's being catapulted into a very, very high tax bracket from nothing to like who knows what. It's a Bacher's dream. So by the Chassan's Tisch, the father-in-law, you know, taps the new chassan on the shoulder. He's already, you know, sitting there with his beautiful white tie and his suit, and the, you know, the band's about to crank up. He says, you know, Yankel, come into the other room for a second. There's like another private little room. There was like a team of lawyers there, and they made him sign like a prenup that, like, if anything should happen, he has no shaykhus to any of the money. And, you know, at that point, what's he going to do? He's going to, like May said, he's going to run out. He's, you know, it's at the chasna. And so he was for, you know, I guess he could have, you know, tried not to and see what happened. But anyway, the point is that, I don't know what the point is actually, but the point is you just have to be careful when you're dating. And by the way, I think we're going to be starting, maybe next week, we have to figure out a good time for it, but we're going to be starting a dating chabura. If anyone is remotely considering dating or is already dating. So I gave it a few years ago. I thought there would be like two people that would come to it. There were like 35 guys that came to it. And just going through, you know, basically the, you know, what you should be looking for, what you should not be looking for, the actual, you know, logistics of dating, references, and the actual art of dating, if there is one, And you know, things like that. If anyone is interested, we'll post the sign about it, hopefully. And if you want to come over to me afterwards and tell me like when you think is a good time to give it, you know, so we can have some consensus of when, you know, when it would work for everybody, that would be fine. But anyway, the point is that whatever you plan on doing in life, this isn't just for people that are planning going into business or into a profession. It could be somebody in chinuch, because even if you're in chinuch and you're giving a shir doesn't pater you from learning the rest of the day. A lot of times you're like, oh, I'm a rabbi, I give a shir, so that takes care of my learning. A person still has to be shaku in learning in the times that he's not giving a shir. But a person sometimes justifies and rationalizes that he doesn't have to be as involved in learning because, you know, it's a different phaze of life, and it's not. The Chaye Adam is exhibit A about how much a person could steig and could accomplish even when he's a businessman, even when he's traveling, even when he's, you know, engaged in commerce, a person could still learn. And you find Balabatim that are like this. They're amazing people out there. They're amazing people. You know, it's very inspiring. You see certain Balabatim, they wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and they have chavrusas and they go to a daf. And then they come back at night and it's already, they're exhausted after a whole day of working, and they eat a supper and they go to a beis medrash and they have a chavrusa, they go to a shir. It's incredible. And then at lunch, at their lunch break, they do more learning, and on the subway they do learning, and there are people that are mamish like this. It's rare. But that would be an ideal Baal Bayis. Somebody that really, you know, tries to continue having his juices, his tayridika juices flowing in his body, even when he's at work. And this is what we learn. You could see from the Chaye Adam. The Chaye Adam is a living example of one of the most popular svarim in Jewish history, written by somebody that was engaged primarily, you know, for 20 years of his life, the main part of his life in business. I was once by Rav Shimon Schwab's apartment in Washington Heights, and there was we were davening mincha there on Shabbos afternoon. It's like one of the last years of his life, and there was a person that was helping make the minyan, And he says, so Schwab says to him, where's your father? His father's already, I know his father, like an older gentleman, businessman, and probably in his 70s, maybe 80s. And so the son said, he's in Hong Kong. He says, he's in Hong Kong. He says, what's he doing in Hong Kong? He says, you know, he's on a business trip. He says, 75 years old, he's still, you know, flying to Hong Kong. It's a very, my father used to go to Hong Kong and to the Far East a lot on business. And it's a very long trip, and you're away from your family, and it's, you know, not such easy, you know, kashrus situations, how to get food there. And so Schwab said, I'll never forget, he says, B'nafshau yavi lachmo. It's, you know, when do we say that? In Davin, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Davin. B'nafshau yavi lachmo. Person brings home bread with his life. Person's mamish, they give up their whole life to make bread, to make a parnasa. Okay, parnasa is very important. No one's doubting that. But you have to be able to, at the same time that you're going for whatever parnasa you're going for, always stay deeply rooted in the Torah. Chavrusa, a beis medrash, a rab, a rabbi, a shir, a chabura, whatever you can to try to stay a ben Torah when it's the most critical, when you're out in the workplace and everything around you is gayish and everything around you is money and everything around you is climbing the corporate ladder. You have to moor yourself to the Torah to make sure that you don't get carried away, you don't forget your bearings and who you are and what your aspirations were when you were in yeshiva, and hopefully we can be bizarre Ampin also like a Rabbi Avraham Danzig.